Canto 21. Already with my eyes fixed on her face again, and with my eyes, my mind, which had no thoughts of any other place, my lady did not smile, but, to be kind, she said, "Were I to smile, you would become like Semele, when she was turned to ash by Jupiter, her lover, in his sum of splendor unadorned. It would be rash, my beauty, which you've seen increase the higher we climb together on the lofty stairs of this eternal palace, is a fire so brilliant that the strength your body bears would be, if mine were not restrained, a bough split by a thunderbolt. Here we arise to Saturn, seventh splendor, which is now close under Leo's burning breast, a guise in which the planet sends down mingled rays with extra powers. So now, behind your eyes, let your mind make them mirrors for the blaze of that shape which will now appear to you." Great was the joy I took from seeing her. But when she made me look at something new, the joy was greater still. I could defer to her desires, and could remember, too, I had beheld her, so the scale pans were poised in the balance. Bearing the great name of that chief who killed off all wickedness in Crete, and gave the golden age its fame, the crystal Saturn ringed the world. No less than golden sunlight flashed a ladder there. Rising so far, its top rungs fled my sight. Descending it were splendors past compare, and so past counting I thought every light in heaven had been poured out through the air. And as the jackdaws, when they rise at dawn together, by their natural habits sent to warm cold feathers, split up with some drawn away not to return from where they went, and some turn back to where they started from, and some stay wheeling, so it seemed to me such movements took place in the maelstrom of lights arriving scintillatingly on any given step. The one that paused closest to us became so bright I said in my mind, "I see well what love has caused your signal." But from her by whom I'm led to speak or else keep silent, there came not a word, so that against my will I made no query. She, aware the cat had got my tongue because I'd seen one who displayed the signs of seeing everything, spoke thus, "Now satisfy your keen desire." And I'm far from being meritorious enough to hear your answer, but I'll try, for her sake who grants me the leave to ask the question, to be worthy in the way I frame it. Let due reverence be my task. Blessed living soul, still hidden in the spray of light which is your happiness, what brings you near me, and how it is in this wheel? Heaven's sweet symphony no longer sings, which filled the air with such divine appeal in all the wheels below. "The way you hear," he said, "is like the way you see, earthbound. If you, a mortal, were touched by the sheer perfection of the music, then the sound would do to you what one look at a smile from Beatrice would. Therefore I have come down the sacred staircase for a little while, and just this far, still mantled in my gown of light, to welcome you with naught but speech. Nor was it greater love that sped me on, for just such love and more is felt by each and all of those above me, look upon their flames. But the high charity which makes us prompt in service of the council's will that makes the world and freely gives and takes, as you can see." This, while I looked my fill. "I see indeed," I said, "my sacred lamp. I see how love, set free, serves in this court for the fulfillment and the final stamp of the eternal providence. One thought, however, still confounds me. Why you? How were you cut out to get this labor done from all your fellows?" I can see it now, the speed with which, before I'd said those last words of my speech, the light began to spin, its axis the smooth axle of a fast mill wheel. And then the love that was within replied, "Focused on me, a light divine pierces this glow in which I am encased. Its virtue, joined to what I may call mine, a vision, raises me from where I'm placed, so far above myself that the supreme essence I see from where it emanates. From this the joy that forms my fiery beam, since to my sight, by perfect estimates of clear view, I make that of my own flame. But not a soul in heaven, even the most alight, no seraph of whatever name, whose eye, of all the highest heavenly host, is closest fixed on God, will satisfy your question. What you ask is far removed in those high depths of the abysmal sky where the eternal ordinance has proved itself cut off from every vision which had been created. In the mortal world, when you return, make your recounting rich with this news, so men may no more be hurled into futility by setting foot on such a path to such an end. The mind which shines here smokes on earth, and therefore put your thoughts to just how down there it may find the means by which it ever could achieve that which it can't appear. Checked by his words that scorned a subject it was time to leave, I only asked him who he was. The birds can't soar to where I came from. Thunder claps below. Quite near your birthplace, plumb between the shores of Italy, a ridgeline caps the range with crags sharp as you've ever seen. That's Catria. There in the Apennines, beneath the ridge, a hermitage once was to worship. In all true forms and designs, entirely given, praise its only cause. So he began again for the third time. Then more. There I became, seeing the Lord so constant, that with thoughts on the sublime, I passed through heat and frost, my bed and board poor stuff, thin scraps eked out with oil of olives. Yet I was content. The yield of prayer to heaven from that spot of soil, a cloister doing duty for a field, one ached for harvest, but now it lies waste. Soon everyone will know. My name when there? Was Peter Damian, and when displaced and made a cardinal, shame and despair led me to give myself another style. Peter the Sinner, for my lasting care was purity, and power made it vile. Corruption ruled us, even as we reigned on our high chairs, low down and out of touch with those dear peaks which in my mind remained the fortress of frugality. Not much of mortal life was left to me when they, there in Ravenna, dragged me to that hat which gets passed on in a progressive way from bad to worse. By now we're used to that. There was a time when Peter and Paul both were hard and barefoot, eating humble food at ordinary inns and nothing loath. But modern shepherds find such rigor crude. A pope now needs a man each side to prop him up, and one before to clear his trail, with one behind his awesome bulk to stop his train from dragging. If his legs should fail to hold him up, he rides. His cloak will flop around two beasts with one skin. Patience, can you stand all this? And at his cry I saw more little flames come down as they began, wheeling from step to step, and they were more lovely with every spin. They swarmed around his light and stopped, and then they cried aloud, so loudly that down there on our home ground nothing could equal it, a shouting cloud of clear lights, and I couldn't understand. By such sweet thunder, deafened and unmanned.